I know this dad is thinking maybe he's murdered this one thing that God has given him to take care of. He's killed the heart, the vision, the way the child feels about himself. Jesus says that murder and anger are somehow connected. We're going to see that tonight as we go back to the book, back to the Bible. I want to have you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue to look at this amazing sermon that Jesus preached to the crowd. If you were with us last week, we looked at how Jesus explained to his audience that Jesus had not come to destroy the ancient law that God had handed down to Moses to give to the Jews. Instead, what Jesus does do is he refers the people back to the law that God gave Moses. And as we'll see tonight, Jesus takes them not just to what the law says, but to the heart of the law. He takes the people to the purpose of the principles that God lays out. He takes them to the law's essence. He takes them to its motive and the intent that God had when he said, live this way. Tonight, we will look at the heart of murder. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 says this. Jesus speaking, you have heard that our ancestors were told that you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. And if you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of hell fires. What is Jesus saying here? Well, what Jesus is saying here is that to have the full life that Caleb sang about, the life that Jesus offers, you to live a life of contentment, to live a life of peace of mind, then our actions and our attitudes, they have to go deeper than simply restraining ourselves from committing murder. Jesus traces murder back to its root. Jesus takes murder to its inception. He traces back from the action of murder all the way back to the attitude of anger. Jesus puts his finger on anger and he says, that's where murder begins and that's what we need to address. Why? Well, because hating people will lead you to trouble. Hating people will lead to difficulty in your soul. Anger, gang, will lead you down the road that is opposite of the full life Jesus offers. Now, various translations of this verse read that those who foster anger are subject to judgment. It says that those who foster anger are in danger of being brought before the court. That those who foster anger might find themselves hauled in before a judge. It says those who foster anger are answerable to the religious leaders. Jesus is telling his listeners that murder is the full-blown, waist-high weed in the lawn of your life. But that weed was birthed in your life from a few sprigs of improperly addressed anger. And anger will cause the derailment of a Christian's life, the same way committing murder would. So let's dive in and let's take a look at the concept of anger. And let's see how you and I can actually live the full life Jesus is promising. Let's get our hands around what anger is and how we are to deal with it in our lives. So here we go. Now, in the Bible, there are numerous accounts of good people and numerous accounts of bad people becoming angry. And you'll notice, as you read your Bible, Jesus gets angry, doesn't he? And you'll look in the Old Testament, you'll see God gets angry as well. You see, the emotion of anger is not a sinful emotion, but it is a ticking bomb that must be dealt with properly, or it can lead to destruction. In the Bible, God calls into question the cause of our anger. He calls into question the duration of our anger, and especially God calls us to notice the expression of our anger. Feeling anger itself is not wrong, but Jesus is informing us that anger cannot simply be addressed as an emotion that's either right or wrong. We must judge why we feel it, evaluate it when we do feel it, and determine what we should do with it. We need to be very careful when we allow anger to initiate our actions. That's because God designed anger to charge up our batteries. God placed anger in our emotion bank. God put it in there. And he did it to nudge us into overdrive when necessary. You see, our anger allows us to release a heightened sense of ourselves. Our hearts pound faster. Adrenaline is released into our system. And our emotions are running at fever pitch, causing our actions to be less controlled. And Proverbs 29:11 states this: a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Anger is a stimulus that God designed us to handle, and something that we should use to motivate us. It is a trigger in a variety of ways. And I want to look at some of the situations that trigger anger in us so that we'll recognize what's going on when we feel anger. The first trigger, and this is on your outline, the first trigger is unmet needs. Unmet needs will trigger anger in your life. I need my time alone. I need my social activity. I need more money. I need more time to myself. I need to be understood. I need to get there, and I need to get there fast. I need some help from someone. I need some excitement. I need some relaxation. We all want our needs met. And when our needs are not met, it triggers anger in us. I'd like to show you a fellow who I've gotten to know recently. His name is John. John has some unmet needs in his life, and you're going to see him talk about them. And when John's unmet needs are not met, it causes him to move into the anger category. John has an unmet need. He wants to eat. He needs to eat. And that need is going unmet. So what happens? It triggers anger. And the same thing happens to us. We all have needs. And if these needs are important to us, we want them met. And when that doesn't happen to our satisfaction, the emotion of anger is triggered in us. And it takes us to a higher level in order to get those needs met. That's the first trigger. Unmet needs will cause anger to well up inside of you. The second, a violation of convictions, and that's on your outline as well, violation of convictions. You see, gang, each of us have a set of determined right and wrongs. You have your set of determined right and wrongs inside of you. And we feel very strongly about our convictions. So much so that when we do not see our convictions being adhered to, we become very angry. One of my convictions centers around the care we need to use in dealing with children. I love children, and I love them in a way that causes me to want to protect them from any harm, from any emotional, physical, or psychological danger. Now, I remember we were watching a training film back at the firehouse, and in this training film, there was a deranged man, and we were going to have to learn how to deal with this. What's the fire department's responsibility in this situation? And I'm watching this man, and he's in a third floor window, And he takes a baby, and he holds the baby by its ankle out the window, screaming that he will let this baby drop to the ground. And this baby wasn't even a year old. Anger welled up so quickly inside of me, I didn't even want to watch the rest of the video. I didn't want to finish the training. I can't stand that kind of action, because my conviction is that those kind of people should be protected. When I didn't see someone living up to my convictions, anger was instantly triggered. We have all kinds of beliefs, gang, that we adhere to and we want others to adhere to as well. Believing children should behave a certain way is a conviction. Believing people should keep their word is a conviction. And when it's not adhered to, we get angry, don't we? Believing that the smoking section should be separated by more than an invisible wall is another conviction that you have that you may get angry with when it's violated. Our convictions are not always aimed at others. We all have convictions for ourselves as well, don't we? We have convictions that we believe we should exercise. And when we break our own conviction, we get angry with ourselves. We believe we should be a certain weight, and when we're not there, we become angry with ourselves. We have a conviction believing that we should have scored higher on a test at school. When we don't, we become angry. Believing we should act a certain way when we don't act that way. When we break our own conviction, we become angry. Any of our convictions that are not met or that are violated will cause and trigger anger inside of us. That's two so far. Unmet needs on your outline and violated convictions are triggers. But a third, and we'll close with this as the final trigger. Feeling devalued. You can write that on your outline. Feeling devalued. You see, each of us, gang, we have a bottom line for dignity. It's our sense of worth that we feel we should be getting. If we feel that the line of our self-worth and our dignity is crossed, we become very angry. This is extremely common in relationships between husbands and wife. It's what they're learning today back in the fireproof marriage study, how women long to be loved by their husband, and that a man, his number one need from his wife is not love. It's a little different. He wants respect. I remember a couple that I knew very well. The wife, for some strange reason, constantly, when she was in a crowd, talking at parties or talking in get-togethers, whenever she talked about her husband, she always did it that made him feel devalued. Every story she told, I would shake my head. My husband tried to build a deck. What a laugh. He spent thousands of dollars on wood, and it's a disaster. We had to hire a carpenter to come in and tear that one down and put a deck upright. My husband. Then she would tell a story how her husband did her a favor one day and tried to do the laundry. Ha! Man, ruined her favorite sweater. Then another time she was telling the story how he had to pick up the kids at school, and of course he was late as usual. You know men. They're not together anymore. The man moved on. And I didn't have to wonder what was in his heart, what he was feeling. He was feeling devalued. The devaluing of our worth can often be experienced in a relationship with our loved one, but also it can be experienced at the workplace as well, can it? Feeling devalued. Having to fight for a raise and being told you don't deserve it. Being belittled by a supervisor. Not being recognized for an achievement while the underachievers are promoted. Or even being laid off. These are just some of the triggers that cause anger inside of us. Unmet needs, violated convictions, feeling devalued. Now, before we move in to the solution side of this thing, I want to challenge you. The next time you become angry, and my guess is it'll probably be this week, the next time you become angry, I want you to try to determine what trigger is being pulled. Try to identify the trigger, I believe I put on the outline. What am I not getting that I feel I should be getting? What need is it that I want met that's not getting met? Is it a violation of one of my convictions? Recognize what the trigger is. Maybe you're feeling devalued. Recognize that when you're angry. Say, what is it that's being pulled inside of me? Because sometimes, gang, just knowing the trigger automatically answers the question. The question of, is the anger I'm feeling appropriate? This past week was a very crazy week for me. I was away the early part of the week down in West Virginia. We had a long drive. We were there a very short time for a very stressful time. And then we came back as fast as we could. We got a little bit of sleep. I took my daughter down to Philadelphia. I had to get back very quickly from Philadelphia with her. We were running late for band practice. It was just one of those kind of busy weeks. And as I pulled on to the Pennsylvania Turnpike, racing to try to get home in time for that band practice, didn't want to let anybody down, traffic. And I got angry. I need to get to Phillipsburg. I do not need to be sitting in King of Prussia. Get out of the way. I got to go. And I stopped. Thought about this message that I'm teaching you because you get angry. What triggered, Drew? Unmet need? Yeah, I'm going to list it as unmet need. I needed to be home and it's not being met. Was that a valid, Drew, is that a valid thing? Is anger the appropriate thing to be feeling here? James 1:20 says this. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. God is telling us here that we must not jump to anger as soon as a trigger is pulled. A heightened sense of ourselves is not always the best course of action. And in fact, an angry outburst by us will, more times than not, lead us to problems, which is what Jesus is saying. If you want to find life to the full, anger rampant in your life is not the way to find the full life. Okay, we've dealt with unjustified anger, but remember we said, anger is an emotion that God included in our bank of emotions. And God did that for a reason. The example God sets for us in the Bible is one of letting his anger punctuate a need for change. For example, Jesus became very angry, didn't he, when he came to God's house and saw that it was being disrespected by greedy money-loving merchants. And Jesus threw the tables of the merchants over in anger. Well, our anger should fuel us and commit us to establishing effective change. That should be on your outline as well. Let your anger fuel you and commit you to establishing effective change. Change the situation that triggered the anger. But I'll tell you what, Westbridge, effective, positive change is not always easy. And effective, positive change is not always without any cost. Anger may lead you. The effective change may lead you to make a phone call and speak to someone, maybe even a loved one who has wronged you. Sometimes our anger may lead us and show us that there's nothing that we can do in a situation. You cannot change the traffic in front of you. Let your anger lead you to the change of learning patience. Sometimes we need to change something inside of us that we haven't wanted to deal with for years. I'm angry. I got fired. Well, why did you get fired? Is there something in you that contributed to make that happen? Is there something you might need to change in yourself? Is that the positive effect of change you need to make? This is the point Jesus is making in his message, the Sermon on the Mount. This is the heart of the matter. We must look inside ourselves. We must be willing to allow God to change us and to discipline our actions to follow God's example. This past week, as I told you, I was away, and God impressed very powerfully, God impressed a thought on me this past week. I went down to West Virginia because my grandmother had passed away. She was 91 years old. And the entire Kleinbell family was there. My father has a large family, 5 brothers and a sister. And I know them very well because we would visit West Virginia a lot. But as we got older, everybody kind of went their separate ways, and you didn't get to see each other as much, and it's a typical family, same as every other. This one doesn't get along with this one that well. This one's a little bit angry at this one. These two don't want to sit them together. And what was interesting is when we did the funeral, the service, they asked me to come up front because I was going to be a pallbearer. And then they marched in the families one by one, almost like a wedding. My dad is the oldest. He came in with his family. I said, wow, that looks cool. But right away came behind him my Uncle John and his family. And then my Aunt Sis, my Uncle Skip, my Uncle Mike, my Uncle Roy, my Uncle David, the whole family. As I watched them parade down the aisle, I thought, this is a good family. What a blessing we have. Why is it that, you know, we can't make it perfect? Why is it? Why is it that it's just not? And I think you guys understand. A lot of families are like this. It was just then that from out of nowhere, the thought came to the back of my mind. Your family will be what you make it. It is what you make it. Just kept being pounded in the back of my mind as I watched. It is what you make it. Our family can be great. It really can. If we learn to focus on the good in each other. Learn to let go of the things that went wrong. It is what you make it. I said, wow, God, that's some principle. Angry about sitting in traffic? It is what you make it. Yeah. You're right, Lord. I can make this miserable and make Katie quite uncomfortable as she's sitting in the car with me being angry. Or I can say, Kate, we're not going to make it. Let's go find something to eat. How about ice cream? Are you doing any good jokes? It is what you make it. Angry about a bad job situation? If someone messed up royally at your job, you got to deal with it? It is what you make it. You can be miserable and complain and try to make that guy a jerk for making his mistake, but you know what? There's another option. You can say, we'll make the best of it. We'll make it work. Don't worry. We'll try to fix it. It is what you make it, gang. Angry at how a loved one has treated you? Angry about what's happened to you? It is what you make it. God doesn't make you and me do the right thing. He doesn't do that. He doesn't make us do the right thing. That's not the way God works. He asks us to do the right thing. Jesus said, you have heard our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. That's what you've heard. But I say, Jesus says, if you're even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger being brought before court, possibly. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of hellfire. And you won't find the life to the full that he promises. I'm going to ask the band to come back and give you guys just a couple of minutes to talk to God in your heart. Maybe there's something you need to make better. That you got wrong. Do you realize you can right your wrongs? Yeah. if you've done something wrong, is there a relationship that's busted and you haven't talked to somebody for years? You can call. You can go make that right. Maybe there's someone you need to speak to with an attitude you threw their way. Say, you know what? Let me make that right. Maybe you're ready now. After looking at God's word and listening to what Jesus has to say about the subject of murder and telling us, you know where the root is? Anger. Maybe you're ready now to live this week a little different than you've been living the past couple of weeks, years, or even decades.